Dying bird box. I am
Shalom, I'm Billy Grimm. And perhaps you know that I was editor of publications for Kenneth E. Hagin for many years. One day he walked into my office and he said, "There's going to be an age change. I won't be here. It's not going to be just like you step over a log and everything is different. God is going to start bringing things from the glory world into this world. There will be more occasion of angels and activity seen. And there will be people, many people, more people will go behind the veil into the glory world and bring back a testimony of what they saw. Some," he said, "will be near-death experiences, some will not." So right away then, that was in probably 1979, I started collecting these people, and I've known them through the years, people who have been to heaven and come back with their testimony. Known them for years. Now one of my newest collections, my newest pieces in my collection, is Dean Braxton. And Dean Braxton was dead for an hour and 45 minutes. He had an amazing experience in heaven, and he recently came by Prayer Mountain, and I interviewed him.
I remember looking at the throng far off from where I was, and yet even though it was far off, it was close because I could see it. There was no fly on his nose, but if there was a fly on his nose, I would have been able to see right here.
Same time? You saw far off and close?
Yeah. It's not like our eyes here. We can see. Okay. We're created for that light, number one. You know, the light that's there? So that's our natural environment, and we don't realize on the planet we got sin always in the atmosphere. Things are deteriorating.
Yeah, we don't even see so clearly, do we?
No, we don't. We don't hear so clearly either. There's no sin. There's nothing to deteriorate. Even my voice talking to you right now is being deteriorated by the time it hits your ears. It's going down because of just the things that are in the atmosphere. But there's none of that to stop. You get to hear pure sound. You get to see like you're supposed to be able to see, the way you were created to see. You know, all the things that the five senses here have to struggle with, there's no struggle there. So when you said I could see him, yeah, I could see him. It's almost like you asked that question. I'm thinking, yeah, I could see him. He was right. like we can see people across the room. Like someone says, "Can you see that?" Yeah, I can see him. Like, you know, "Can't you see him?" That type of thing, you know, because it just is that way. It's so natural in the sense of how we are created.
Now, he's the Father.
Yes.
And let's talk about prayer a while.
Okay, good. I wanted to get to that.
The New Testament letters, mm-hmm. which are for the church.
Yes.
All the Bible's for the church, but it's not all about the church. It's not all about the redeemed.
Yes,
the letters are about the redeemed.
Correct.
So in the letters, it tells us that we pray to the Father in the name of the Son.
Yes.
But prayer goes to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're to address the Father.
Yes.
We can talk to Jesus and have fellowship with Jesus, but prayer goes to the Father.
Correct.
So now, you saw that, how that works.
Yes.
Tell us how it works.
Well, when I was, remember how I told you those prayers were passing me by and they were heading in? I remember coming into that realm, heaven, and I went into that realm, and above me, the prayers were still going past me, and they were headed to the throne. They were headed to the Father. And it wasn't, I always tell people, it wasn't like we were stopping and looking up in the sky and say, "Wow, look at all those prayers come up like a fireworks show or anything like that." But it was natural. Everybody knew those prayers were coming from this planet and they were going to the Father and they were moving fast. And so I remember when they went to the Father, they just didn't go to him. They went inside of him. They went inside of his being. You know, it just didn't stop and stop somewhere. And I used to think, this is my analogy, I used to think it was like bingo. You know how you play bingo and you have balls that go up in the air? Because you know how it talks about in Revelation, they're in the sister, and the sister is incense, and it comes up like that. So my mind took it on as more of a bingo type of thing. You know, so that's just the way that's the best way I could. Remember, I was raised in the church. They didn't tell us that stuff. So I used to think, and I used to think, you better send a whole bunch of them up there so he'd pick your ball every once in a while.
Oh, my goodness. Like a lottery or something.
Like a lottery almost.
Oh, thank God it's not like that. Thank God.
Yeah, he's not. But then I see him go inside of him, and it breaks my box apart. you know, the box I had for God.
Yeah, a little box that God is in.
Yeah, it just goes. And I remember later on coming back and reading in Psalms, the 18th chapter, where David says that his prayers literally went inside of God's ears. And I said, oh, there it is, right there. It's talking about how our prayers go inside of him. And then when you think about incense that is burning before the throne of God, and it's the prayers in it, what is incense? It's a smell. It's going in. He's breathing it in. Ah, I get so excited yes. thinking about that. And I came to understand, Billy, that inside of God is a place for your voice that no one else can fulfill but your voice. It's that personal. And he wants to hear from you. And in 1 Peter, the third chapter, the 17th verse, it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears, oh, I love this part, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. And I see a picture of God. I didn't see this when I was there. This is just me seeing. I see God kind of saying, I want to hear from you. And then I come to understand Genesis, the second chapter, when he created Adam, he gave Adam a mouth and a voice. And it wasn't to talk to the animals. Eve had not been created at that moment. It was to talk to him. And I tell people, our mouth and our voice, first of all, primary, was to talk to God first. Secondary is for me to talk to you and anybody else. Primary, this voice was created for God.
That's really why we were created, wasn't it?
Yes.
Communication with the Father.
The communication.
Working with the Father.
Yes.
Now, you saw those prayers go into him. And he answered them.
Yes.
You said he answers them.
Yes, he answered them.
And then you said that he communicated those to Jesus who strategized.
He strategizes, yes.
Now tell us about Jesus strategizing.
Well, you know, Jesus would get the information from the Father. And remember when I told you I was in that field area, that meadow area, and Jesus was standing there, and there was a half circle of beings, some redeemed, some what we would call angels. He would give them communication. He would literally strategize. Matter of fact, what I saw him do was all of a sudden he would say, like he wanted to hit a town or area in this area, a city. He would literally have the town rise up off the ground in detail. And he would communicate.
Like a certain city.
Like a certain city, any city, like Detroit. Every building would be in detail. And he would look at the angels, and he would communicate and said, now this is where we're going to fight this battle at. And this is where we're going to fight this battle at. And we're doing this because it opens up this realm for these people to be able to receive what I want them to receive.
Okay, now let me say this. Put this forth. You tell me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Let's say a mother prayed for her lost son.
Yes.
Out there in the drug world or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
If she prayed and that went into God, then it would go to Jesus and he would strategize how to get that boy.
That's correct.
And he would send those people, beings.
Yes.
Beings. On assignment.
He would send them to fight in the spiritual realm so that the earthly realm would be open. And then he would tag us. Like Ananias.
Okay.
Remember how Jesus came to Saul or Paul and talked to him and told him to go and wait in this area? Then he went to Ananias and said, Ananias, you need to go talk to this man.
I see.
So there's two parts. I call it the army. There's the heavenly part of the army, and then there's the earthly part of the army. They're two different units. But they are connected to the same God, and he is directing them how to work together.
So both of them are perhaps working on a case.
They are working on a case. Because the Bible says that we are to what? Pray for what? The laborers to go into the harvest field. Okay? We're the laborers. I like to say this a lot of times. Tag, you it.
Okay, so sometimes when I'm praying for somebody.
Yeah.
I pray he'll bring all the forces.
Yes.
Heaven's forces, earth's forces.
Yes.
Now, he's called, one of his names is Jehovah Sabaoth, or Sabaoth, Jehovah of hosts.
Yes.
Jehovah of armies.
Yes.
That's one of his names.
Yes.
He has armies.
Armies.
He has armies in heaven. Actually, it says in one place that he sent the stars as armies to fight Sisera.
That's right.
And then he has the church as an army.
That's correct.
So angels are armies. He's got armies.
He's correct.
Jehovah of armies.
Yeah.
So they come, and those dark forces, you know, when Adam was on earth. He's mm-hmm. supposed to have dominion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But no, he sold out to the devil.
Yeah.
He didn't have the moral right to do it, but mm-hmm. he had the legal right.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
then that gave, he really was supposed to have been like, here's earth and here's that around it here. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in my, I think that's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm, I think mm-hmm. we're going to replace all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they that dark, those, well, Jesus called him Prince of the Power of the Air.
Yes, right.
You know, so they're called that. He's called mm-hmm. that. Satan's mm-hmm. called that. God of this world.
Mm-hmm.
He's not supposed to be the God of this world. Adam's supposed
yep.
to be the God of this world. But actually, according to the Talmud and the ancient oral tradition of what God told Moses when Moses went to heaven, was that God gave Adam a 6-day work week.
Mm-hmm.
And that 6-day work week, it's like God had a 6-day work mm-hmm, week, and mm-hmm. Adam was given a 6-day work week to see what you'll do here.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to have the dominion. You're supposed to do this, and you name the animals, and you do this, you know. We have a purpose. Well, each of those days is 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're told that in Psalms. We're told that in Peter.
Mm-hmm.
A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years.
Right.
So there's 6,000 years. Now, I personally think Earth is probably billions of years old,
mm-hmm.
but I do think Adam came here 6 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those 6 days, 6,000 years, are divided into three parts.
Mm-hmm.
The first two were the days of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put up a chart for you to see. The next two were, then the law came, the Torah mm-hmm. came, the mm-hmm. written word. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I'd hate to live before there was a written word.
Yeah.
But he gave the written word then.
Right, right.
And then there were supposed to be 2 days of Torah, 2,000 mm-hmm. years. And then on the fourth day, into the fourth day, like on the fourth day light came, the Messiah was to come.
Sure.
Now, they've got this in the Talmud, 97, Sanhedrin 97, either A or B. And they got a little asterisk down there.
Okay.
And they said, he didn't come because we weren't ready. That's what mm-hmm. they said, the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but they won't change anything. They'll put an asterisk. But he did come.
Yes.
And then the last 2 days are supposed to be the days of Messiah.
Yeah.
And so that's what we could call the church age. That's when he took Israel is a nation as a nation separated for God's use.
Mm-hmm.
All of us, we're out of every nation,
mm-hmm.
every kindred, every mm-hmm. tongue.
Mm-hmm.
He chose a people for a body.
Right.
And now we're the very body of Christ, and this unique body, they're the redeemed,
mm-hmm.
and there's the ones whose place is in heaven. Earth is not our home.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have a hard time to convince people of that. Yeah. Your grandmother, Mary, what'd she tell you to do?
Well, my grandmother, Mary, when she said to me, bring as many of us back with you as you can.
Well, how'd you see her?
Oh, she was on the other side of Jesus. My family had come to greet me in. Grandmother Mary was out front. I believe she was out front because I believe she's the one that prayed me into the kingdom of God. And I wanted to always thank her. She went home to be with Jesus soon after I became a Christian. So I never got to.
So you're like late teens and yeah, she's gone home.
Yeah, yeah. She went home, you know, during that time frame, about 3 months after that, after I became a Christian. And I never got to say, Grandma, thank you. Okay. So in my heart, no one knew this. In my heart, I always wanted to thank her. And there she was out front of my entire family. Behind her were other family members that had been on the planet when I had been. But then it was generation after generation after generation after generation.
A whole lot of them.
A whole lot of them. And I didn't know that many people in my family had a connection with Jesus Christ. So, you know, sometimes people ask me, what about those that you thought would be there? Well, I think, and I didn't think all those people would be there. So.
Okay, here's all this large group of your family. And you were made to know that families are important even after behind the veil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Family's important to God. When was family created? In the first chapter.
Uh-huh.
And most of us don't realize. And family was created to be together forever. It's only because of what Adam and Eve did, in the sense of what Adam did, really, that we're separated. But we were never, ever, ever, ever meant to be separated. That's why we grieve when we lose a loved one. You know, it's not like some that don't know have that hope, but we still grieve. I tell people the five senses were meant to be experienced by the other person that we have in our lives. It's supposed to be for eternity. We're supposed to see him forever. Literally, we're supposed to hear him forever. Literally, we're supposed to smell him forever, taste him forever, and touch them forever. So when that is removed from us, we grieve.